trying to figure up something nice to say about Brother Dale. And I figured he's worth about $1.59.
That's a lot, brother.
If you burned him up and sold him off, he'd bring about $1.59. Maybe right. A little more because he's a little bigger than us.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe $1.69.
Yeah, yeah.
Wherever you come, yeah, amen. It's good to have him in Black Creek, New York. A precious friend, him and his wife. Dear to us, amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I thank God to be in church. I love church. I mean, we drove, I don't know how many miles we are from Black Creek to here. We just drove here to come to church. It may turn around and go home today. I don't know what the Lord has for us. But I tell you what, we're in church this morning. No matter where we go, one of the things that me and my wife make sure is when we're traveling, we're finding a church.
Good.
I won't be out of the house of God.
Amen.
I refuse. Right. I mean, the Lord has shown that to me and my wife. And I'm not boasting, but I'm just telling you now. I know what the Lord does when I try to skip out of church.
Amen.
I'd rather not be there.
Right.
I'd rather not be where the Lord has His hand on me. If you never felt the pressure of the Lord, then maybe you need to come to the altar and get that right.
Right?
I'm just, right. Hey, listen, I'm not staying up here. I'm an imperfect man saved by a perfect God, and I hope by the time that I leave here, you don't like me, but you'll love the one who saved me.
Yes.
I don't want you to like me. I don't need you to like me for one hot second. But what I love you to see is Jesus Christ. What I love you to see is the hope that He put in my life.
Right.
The hope that He gave me a new life.
Right.
And that's what I hope you see. I hope you don't see this, man, because $1.69, that's worth a lot. I don't even know if I'm worth 88 cents. My body's worth nothing. When the Lord died for Dale Moore, He didn't die for my body.
Good.
You see, when He saved me, these tattoos didn't fall off of me.
Right.
I got about 70 so tattoos on my body. I'm covered in them. I hate them. Just to let you know, I don't go around and trying to expose my tattoos and love them and so on. I hate them. But I'm just telling you now, they're a testimony where the Lord brought me from.
Right.
He didn't bring me from a mansion. He didn't bring me from a good home. He saved me from the absolute gutters.
Amen. That's
where He brought me from. Many years in three different states. I got prison records in three different states, Florida, Vermont, New York. Many, many years of mental hospitals and jails and rehabs and prisons. Just in case you didn't know, jail and prison are totally two different things. I'm an ex-convict, and I can make sure I let you know that. They're totally two different things. But I've been in them all. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just telling you, alcoholic, drug addict, womanizer, I mean, abuser, you name it, I've done it. Here resembles what the world done to me. And now you see an outward reflection of what Jesus Christ has done to me.
Yeah.
He's cleaned this thing up. I'm just telling you, about 4.5-5 years ago, I'm just telling you, you wouldn't have wanted to cross the street if I was standing there. I just looked mean, nasty. No beard, shaved, bald head. I tried to keep it as close as I could because one of the things that I learned after being abused as a child and after the things that were done to me, that I had to intimidate people. I had to spread fear in people's life. That's how I was going to control everything.
Yeah, right. Right.
Just telling you. An instinct, something came up inside of me, a defense from all of the abuse and all the things that went on in my life. And then I went out there and I just got unleashed on the world. That's what I did. I unleashed everything that ever happened to me out there on the world, and I left my mark, and it was not a good mark. But see, Jesus Christ, He looked down from heaven almost 4 years ago, October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street, and I got saved.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this right now, I have not been the same since.
That's right.
I don't desire what I came from. I don't desire that, you know, I wave a flag in my Sunday school class. Most of them are sitting over here at my church. And I try to wave the flag and preach the word and say, you don't want to go that way. The world wants to hurt you, wants to stop you off. All it wants to do is harm to you. It doesn't want to do you any good. You know what? There's a bunch of me's out there waiting for you kids. There's a bunch of me out there waiting for your children.
Right.
There's a bunch of me that are out there waiting for you. And I'll tell you, we got something for you. We got something for you, but you know what? The Lord's got something different.
Yeah.
There is hope. There is a hope, sir, in this world.
Yes.
And his name is Jesus Christ. It's by nothing that I do. And I love my brothers in Christ, but it's by nothing they do. You know what the Lord tells them to do? Be faithful and preach the word in and out of season. That's what we need to do. And, you know, we need to get back out there and start loving these people that are unlovable. If it wasn't for a man who preached Jesus Christ to me and loved me, I see. You know what I seen in him? Finally, for the first time in my life, I didn't see John Asquith as a man. But I seen Jesus Christ living in a man who loved me. And I said, you know what? I desired that. I wanted that. I used to go home and tell Amy, I said, I want what he has. I want what he has. I got something. He's got something. I want what he has. For 3.5 years, I sat underneath the preaching of a King James Bible. I didn't get saved instantly. The Romans Road, the easy believism, almost sent me and my wife slapped to hell.
Yeah.
Just let you know that right now.
Right.
The Lord saw fit under the preaching of a King James Bible, of a man who showed me love and taught me Jesus Christ, showing me, you know, it came to a point where the Lord just took my heart out and he showed it to me. That's what you are. That's what you are.
It's awful.
Yeah. And it broke me. For the first time in my life.
Amen.
I got broke. I bowed down to somebody for the first time in my life because you weren't getting me to bow down. But I'll tell you what, today, I don't have a problem laying on my face with Jesus Christ. And I'm half a cripple anyway. I got back problems, neck problems, and everything else. But I don't have a problem getting on the floor for my Savior.
Amen.
I just don't have a problem with that.
Amen.
Because I finally realized this, that after Jesus Christ, when he got beat, and the crown of thorns being stuck on his head, and they're mocking him, and throwing robes on him, and then nailing him to a cross. When he opened his eyes, I was his reward. He did that for me.
That's right, bro. Thank God.
He did that for me. And did I deserve it? I didn't deserve a minute of it. Turn with me to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. I thank God for what he's done. I thank God for what he's doing in my life and continuing to do in my wife. My life. My wife got saved 6 months after I did. And we grabbed that plow and we haven't looked back.
Amen.
And I thank God for it. But anyway, we're going to talk about... It amazes me how God works here. Brother McVeigh, we didn't sit back at the room that we're staying at, and we didn't talk about what each other was going to preach. But then he started getting up here and preaching what he did, and I said, oh my goodness, the Lord gave me this message last week. I knew what I was going to preach coming here. And here we are. And, you know, I believe the Lord has the mind that there's some things that are going on in the churches today. He wants them straightened out. When he sends a preacher up here and he tries to tell people, they don't want to listen to it. They walk out of here being the same person they walked in here as.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God is calling some people to start getting serious about this thing. Because I'm telling you right now, we're losing America, and these so-called Christians think we're okay. Right. They think we have power with God. And I'm just telling you now, the sodomites are winning everything. The drug dealers and the addicts, they're getting their dope legal and everything else. And yet we're winning. Listen, I hear people all the time tell me how many souls they've led to the Lord and so on and so forth. And yet we're losing this battle in America as Christians. Where are we? Where's all this soul winning? 1,500 people I led to the Lord. Where are they? I'll tell you this, as many people as I hear claim all these numbers, why do we have church pews empty?
Right, brother. Right.
Ezekiel 37, I'm going to start in verse 2. We're going to read 10 verses. Ezekiel 2, verse 37, Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was a very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, upon these bones, behold, I cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I, as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, the shaking and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, lo, and the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and but there was no breath in them. Then saith unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, oh, breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. The Lord gave me this message as I stood. You know, I'm new to this whole salvation, this whole Christian life thing, but I've been around for a few times, and the Lord has opened doors for me to go and visit places. And we've been hurt by the things that me and my wife have experienced and the things that we've seen.
Right.
Because I'm seeing exactly what Ezekiel 37 is talking about. Dead men's bones that are filling the church pews. That's what we have today. We have dead people filling church pews. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but here I got to write myself some notes because I'm real forgetful. Is that we see a dry valley full of dead bones. Sadly, this is a part of most churches today. Many claiming to be Baptist churches. They are old, dry, and brittle, and claim to be full of life.
Yeah.
Claim to be full of... They claim to have all this power with God. They'll stand there and they'll proclaim, we have the power of God. He falls on our services. And there's not maybe 10 or 15 people saved in that whole church. And they fall for that, the whole thing. The devil had blinded the minds of the people. He blinds them with men worship.
Right?
And I thank God that I have a pastor who doesn't fall for that garbage. My pastor knew when to start pulling away from me so that I didn't look to him all the time.
Good.
You see, we can lead people to Christ, but there's a time we need to pull away from them and let them start trusting Jesus Christ. And listen, my pastor, hey, I got a question for you, Pastor. Hey, Pastor, I need to know how to do this with my family, Pastor. Ask my wife. He used to tell me, go study your Bible. You go find that out for yourself.
That's right.
Right.
You know what that did? That put a separation between me and him. I'm not talking about him being my pastor and him not being my pastor. I'm talking about that put a separation where I'd say, you know what? I need to learn. I need to see what God has to say about this thing, not just the man.
That's it.
We have brothers in this room, Brother McVeigh and Vernon's, who preach an awesome. But let me just tell you this. Don't just take their word for it.
Right? That's exactly right, buddy.
Right.
This is what they call men worship. What I'm telling you here today, don't just take my word for it. Go read your Bible. Go study that thing. Go see what God has to say, what's going on in America today. Brother Tim did that. It's sad for you got these new Christians, and thank God. Thank God that when I lived as a knucklehead out there, I lived hard for the devil. And now thank God that he's put it in my heart to live hard for him.
Amen.
I wish I could totally sell out for the Lord. I wish I could. But you know, this flesh gets in my way too much. I get carnal way too quick. But I want to sell out. I want to live fully for the Lord. I don't want nothing else of this world. We live pretty meager in our house. We don't have a whole bunch of anything. But what we have between the four of us and the Lord, I'm just telling you now, it's worth millions and millions. You know what? I'll never attain all that money, brother.
That's right.
But it's nice when I can come up, my son will come up and say, hey, Dad, can we pray? My daughter, when she sets the table for dinner, she puts the Bible in the plate in the place of my plate because she knows we're going to read the Bible at dinner time. That's priceless.
Sure is.
Hey, honey, we're having problems. Come on, let's the four of us get together. Let's go pray. And we'll stand there and we'll have a little circle of prayer. The other day, Tim was having problems. I got to say it, Tim, because I think it's important for my son to hear it. Have problems with his air conditioner. So me, him, and Luke are standing there. I said, look, why don't you pray for Brother Tim's air conditioner while the three of us stood there. You know, the Lord answered that prayer that night. By 10:30 at night, his air conditioner was working. And you know who saw that? That little boy sitting right there.
Yes, thank God.
Right. Amen.
Oh, I'm just telling you.
Thank God.
These people have died for turning from God's ways to follow the foolishness of man and their ways. That's what this whole Christian thing has become, is man's ways and their foolishness. And the programs and everything else that they're throwing in there. Let me just tell you this. I thank God that we have a pastor who believes in only instilling the Bible into a person's life. Thank God for the godly music that we have in our church. But we don't have a bunch of programs. Anybody been to our church? We don't have a bunch of that baloney in our church. I tell you what we do have. We have some saved people, some changed lives in our church. Amen. Not because of Pastor John Asquith, but because he believes in Jesus Christ. He believes in what the Bible can do for somebody's life. That's what
Amen.
He believes.
Amen.
He believes that with his whole life. And if anybody knows him, most of you know him, you know that's how he believes. And he tries to pass that down to people. If you'll just read your Bible, just study your Bible, just get in there and see what God has to say. He's got something to say to you. Believe me, he's got something to say. The problem is most people have been brainwashed by these other knuckleheads to say, don't listen to what the Bible says, listen to me.
That's right.
I'm just telling you now, he's nothing but a man. He will lead you astray. I can't help you. I don't have a magic pill, Zach, to give somebody. I don't have a cloud of smoke I'm going to say poof. But what I have is Jesus Christ. I have a King James Bible. I can stand there that for sure. And I can show them that. And I can love them with that thing.
Sure, man.
That's what I have. But you know what? They've been so tricked and so tuned into having a microwave salvation and a microwave life. And everything needs to change instantly. It's become, as Ezekiel, full of dead men's bones. That's what it's become. And I don't mean to offend anybody. I really don't. Listen, I'm not saying this to offend anybody. But I thank God I didn't grow up in a church. I thank God because you know why? All the foolishness these churches are getting into. And there's some good churches that are out there now. There's some good churches. I know a few good churches. But let me tell you something. Most of them are full of foolishness and their children are dying and going to hell as they sit in the pew.
Amen.
I'm just telling you.
Right.
Thank God that I got saved from the streets. Thank God I got saved from the gutters. That's what I always say. I got saved from the gutters.
Right.
The Lord, we had to reach way down that slime pit. I mean, way down in there. And he had to pull me out of there, man. He rescued me.
Amen.
You know, you go ahead and read. I'm real big on studying. I thank God that he's given me that. But I've been studying the sacrifices, Zach. You notice some sacrifices sit there and they said that they kill the sacrifice. Some say they slay. There's a difference between killing and slaying. Slaying has a very violent intent behind it. Killing is you might just shoot somebody one time. Slaying, you want to shoot them 30, 40 times. There's a violent intent behind that slaying. My friends, Jesus didn't just get killed for Dale.
Yeah.
He got slain.
That's right.
You know what the difference is? You murder when you murder a sacrifice or kill a sacrifice, people are sinning out of ignorance. When the sacrifice is being slain, they're willingly sinning. Go read it in your Bible. It'll show you that.
Yeah, I believe it. Hey.
Jesus Christ got slayed because we willingly sin. He got slayed for you.
You're right.
Go ahead. You know, some commentary didn't tell me that, brother. I'd have somebody stand up here and teach me that. King James Bible. God sat down and he taught me those things. This is what God does to somebody. This is what he does when you get alone with him.
Hey,
I'm just telling you.
Thank God.
I hear people all the time, well, there's nothing to that Bible. No, let me just tell you this, there's nothing to you. That's what the problem is, there's nothing to you.
Yes, my brother.
There's nothing to you. There is right here.
Right.
I can promise you that. I'm just telling you now. I can sit up here for 4 or 5 days and just give you a whole background of my whole life. I'm just telling you now, it's impossible to be where I am today on my own.
Sure.
I had psychiatrists tell me. Now, when I met Pastor John, I was taking 19 pills a day, psychotropic pills a day for my mental disorders. I take zero today. My wife was sitting there. She witnessed the psychiatrist. She said, Mr. Moore, there's nothing else we can do for you. That's when Jesus Christ started his work in my life.
Amen.
That same psychiatrist, just a couple weeks ago, I was able to witness to that same psychiatrist. How's that? And Lord opened a door. You know what the psychiatrist told me afterwards? Because they're going to talk about putting a back implant in my back to help with the pain. You got to go see a psychiatrist. He goes, I thought I recognized you. And so I gave an hour and a half. He was supposed to be asking me questions. For an hour and a half, I witnessed to him. I gave my testimony. He said, "You're an amazing man."
Amen.
He goes, "You know what?" He goes, "You made my day." He goes, "Noah, no." He goes, "You made my whole week." I said, "That's Jesus Christ. I just want you to know what he can do for people."
Hey, that's right.
Hey, God, it gets better. I was asked to go preach in Rochester. I go to preach at Rochester. I start giving my testimony a little bit. Most of you know I ran with a pretty tough gang. And so I just started saying things because somebody told me there was going to be an undercover cop that might come there and see whatever. So I just started saying things that only maybe a gang member would understand. You have to be in the gang or maybe an officer to understand what I was going to say. Right. So I'm giving my testimony. And the guy said, he remembers sitting there saying, "I want to see what this guy's all about." He goes, "When I heard you start talking about that gang," he goes, "I hit my wife," and he goes, "This man's the real deal. He knows. He's not a fake." And so I get done and everything, he's coming up and we're talking. Come to find out, he's not only a police officer, but he works in an undercover gang unit. And he goes, "I knew you were the real deal. He's one of my good friends. Matter of fact, he texted me this morning, a police officer. My very enemies are now my friends." Listen, the psychiatrist, the police officer, we went and spent 8 hours at his house, had dinner, he's Spanish, his family cooked us dinner. And then there's a third one. You've been to my property. There's three houses on that property. There's an old lady that lives across from us, but just diagonal from me is a correctional officer who was my correctional officer when I was in prison. I'm just telling you what the Lord does. I'm just telling you how good he is. I'm just telling you.
Lord bless
his
name.
Listen, I'm just telling you, he can get in and do things that you just would not believe.
Yeah.
This is why I get into this the way I do. This is why I love to serve the Lord. I'm not perfect at it. Ashton McVeigh's, I've been with them since Thursday. I'm not a perfect person. But I strive to live for Jesus Christ. The way he's teaching me.
Good.
You got to understand, for 40 years, I lived like a hellion. For 40 years, I was a drug dealer, drug addict, gang member. I've been saved 3.5 years, going on 40 years. And thank God that he's opened my eyes to the things at such an early Christian age that I wouldn't fall into the trap of the garbage that's going on in these other churches.
Right.
Thank God for brothers like Brother McVeigh and Brother Vernon and my pastor who sees these things and they can teach me things. Me and him sat up until 1 o'clock last night just talking about things. I went my right. I said, thank God that he talked to me about those things. Thank God that some man's going to take time and teach me some things and let me know what's going on, because sometimes I feel like I'm left out. But, it's, you know, he told me, he said, you know, your pastor might do it to protect you. Because you're still young in the Lord. But you know what? I thank God that somebody took the time to tell me things that's going on. And thank God that he's delivered me and my wife from that stuff. Because churches today are full of dead men's bones. Turn with me to Matthew 23, please. Turn with me to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I'm going to get through this. Matthew 23. I just wanted to give you a little witness, a little testimony of what Jesus Christ can do for a person. I'm just telling you, the people that told me I had no hope, the ones who see me in the midst of having no hope, and those who are my enemies are now my friends, and only to the glory of God. Only because of what Jesus Christ has done.
That's right.
I'm just telling you that right now. It ain't by nothing I've ever done. I told Brother McVeigh, I said, this is what I tell people. I can't help you do anything good, but I can help destroy your life. It's only by the grace of God that if you get anything, it's only by the grace of God, it's only by Jesus Christ and his word that you get anything.
Amen.
If I get up here and I start glorifying myself and what I do and this and that, please shoot me. He goes, I hope your pants split. I'm praying that your pants split or that I puke or fall off the bed, break my ankle. Listen, I don't want to get in the way. Please, I don't want to get in the way. Keep me out of the way because I'm no good for you. Believe me, I'm no good for
you. That's right.
If I was any good for you, then I wouldn't need salvation. But I'm just going to let you know now. I need to get saved.
That's right.
Let me go on. Matthew 23, verse 27 and 28. Matthew 23, 27, 28. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. He didn't say some uncleanness. Matter of fact, it was so many he couldn't mention them. He just said all uncleanness. You see that? He didn't just say fornication or this. He said all uncleanness. There were so many in the name. He just said, we'll just say all uncleanness. Let me just go on. Even so, ye are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Oh, they look good on the outside, the churches today. It looks real good. But on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones.
Yes.
The sinews are there. The flesh is covering. The bones are coming back together. But they're missing the very breath of God. That's what they're missing. Them bones in Ezekiel 37 didn't come alive until God breathed on them. These churches don't have God breathing on them yet. They're full of dead men's bones on the outside and on the inside. God's breath is, God is so far from them, and they think they're filled with the power of God. That's what they're preaching. Oh boy, the power of God swept through this place. And I'll sit there in church sometimes going, man, what's wrong with me? Why didn't I get some of that? We talked about that last night.
Yeah.
Because there was no God there.
That's right.
You understand? These people live one way in church. They look so good. Listen. I talked to Brother Tim last night. You couldn't put a collared shirt on me even for a funeral. I had family members that would die. My wife's my witness. I wouldn't put a collared shirt on for them. I don't dress this way because I want to make you happy, you happy, you happy, or you happy. I don't care what you think I look like. It wasn't until my insides changed that my outside followed. And it wasn't for a long time. Debbie knows. She's seen me come to church for years, just like anybody else would. But it was I didn't wear collared shirts and all that stuff. The outward appearance has nothing, no meaning, Zach. If it did, then I wouldn't have these tattoos on me. Understand that. If the outward appearance was so important to God, when He saved me, these tattoos would have left with me. They did not. But He changed who I am on the inside. Hey, those dead men's bones. They're gone. That black hole that everybody walks around, they're trying to fill, that black hole, you throw something in the black hole, it just keeps going
yeah.
out there. It can never be filled.
That's right.
That's what's in our hearts. Without Jesus Christ, that's what's in your heart.
Amen. Yeah.
You'll try to fill it with everything you can. I'm just going to tell you now, it's going to blow out the back. It'll never be full. It wasn't until Jesus Christ stepped into my life that I finally filled that black hole. He filled that black hole. Now I don't have to worry about filling it with all that garbage anymore. I'm free. I mean, I'm so free now that I can't describe to you how free I really feel. And I don't have all these burdens. I mean, I got to dress this way, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. You know why? Because the dead men's bones have been washed out of me. It's been cleaned. The blood of Jesus Christ came in and washed that stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, hang on. He's a new creature. You know what that means? That means you become something you never were. What's a new creature? That's something that never existed on this earth before. When you get saved, you become something that never existed on this earth before.
Amen.
People don't get that, Zach. Oh, for 50 years I lived this way, and you know, one day I just said, you know what, Lord, I remember when I got saved 50 years ago, I think I'll start... things become new, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new.
Right.
Your old things start going that way.
Yeah.
And God starts replacing them with the new things.
That's exactly.
I'm just telling you now, there's things
exactly
that go on in my life that I could never put in there. It only has to come by the miracle of Jesus Christ. There's things that went out of my life that only Jesus Christ could have cured.
Amen.
The very first night I got saved, I don't know how many of you guys may have heard this, the night I got saved. For the first time in my life, I realized that I was getting angry. And I could control myself. Zach, for the first time, I could control myself. I could stop myself from getting angry. I knew that I was getting upset. I knew that I was getting mad. I go home. I just stopped and I said, Amy, I'm getting angry. I realize I'm getting angry. I could stop this thing. I could control it for the first time.
That's
I would have nightmares at night, afraid that I was going to hurt my family or kill somebody. I was so afraid of being out of control of my own anger. That night I got saved, I realized that I had control. I'm just telling you now, it's a miracle. You ask my wife, they used to put me on pills because my anger was so violent. They put me on pills to control my, like I was having seizures in my brain. Did they not load me up with them? It made me almost 300 pounds. And they had me on all these medicines to control my anger. They're like, your brain waves are so crazy when you're angry. It's like you're having seizures and we got to get you on some medicines. And they would just load them up on me. I mean, they would load them up on me. And you wonder why I don't mind selling out to Jesus Christ, man.
Right.
I have four people that I don't, that God, I should have never, ever, that I never deserved. I have Luke, Autumn, Andy Moore, and my family. The Lord should have never granted me them. I'm going to try to say this as nice as I can, but I need you to know, I need you to understand the depth of this thing. I wasn't, listen, a murderer. I didn't bring women to the abortion clinic. I was the abortion clinic, and I'll leave it at that. Okay? I'm just telling you now. Jesus Christ stepped into my life, and it's never been the same.
That's what he does.
All these people out there claiming they have Jesus Christ and nothing happens to them, I wonder. I wonder, have you really seen what you really are in the eyes of God?
That's right.
Has he really taken your heart out and has he really shown you what you really are? How would you like to wake up one day and see that you are Dale Morey? Just from the few things that I told you, how would you like that? Do you know I had to come to that point in my life in order for the dead men's bones to be gone? I couldn't get rid of them things, Zach. A psychiatrist couldn't get rid of them. Mental hospitals couldn't get rid of them. Jails, prisons, rehabs, alcohol, and substance abuse. They couldn't get rid of none of that stuff. I'd wake up and they're still there. I'd get out of jail and prison and it was still there. So bad that I would offend the same day that I got out of prison. I'd do robberies the same day I walked out of prison. I'd be right back at it because you know what? There was nothing changed in me. It was still there. I still had them bones in me.
That's it.
Oh, you know what I told my wife the other day? I said, Amy, for years, just about 4 years, 4 years by was the last time that I felt so hopeless. Since I've got saved, I've never felt hopeless again.
Hey, that's right.
You ask her. I would walk around depressed, wanting to kill myself. Even got and went to a mental hospital, everything else. I'm just telling you, I had no hope.
That's right.
Oh, but there's hope.
Thank God there's hope.
This is why I do what I do, because there is hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. I came down here in faith that Jesus Christ would do something this week. Not by me preaching, but him. Somebody preaching to me. Somebody giving me something. He'll change my... I want more of what he got and less of what I have. I don't want what I have. I don't want me. I want him.
Right.
I don't desire to be who I am. I want to be what he wants me to be. And you know what? I have four eyes. Six, my wife too. But I have four little eyes that are watching me 24/7.
Sure.
When I walk out of church, church comes home with us. I don't leave church in church. When I come home, when we go home, the Bible comes with us. When we go to Kmart, Walmart, wherever you shop, the Bible is with us. We have so many out there claiming to be Christians. People know it, and then they see how they act and go, that's why I don't go to church. Full of dead men, but you know, they'll go fill them other churches up. You know why? Because they can be. Listen, this is what I'm going to close with this. I feel like I should just be done here, and I'm going to be done. Those other versions of the Bible, they take God and they try to bring him down to their level.
That's right.
When them Bibles do that, that allows a person to live any way they want. They don't have to see who they are.
That's right.
They don't have to see what they are. I'll tell you the reason why people won't get saved today, Mike, is because they're not seeing what God wants them to see about themselves. They run from it.
He's holy.
You mean to tell me you can read a King James Bible and not get taught about what God is trying to show you about yourself? This is where most people turn, Zach. This is why they turn to the other versions. They're trying to bring God down to their level so they can listen to the little fancy dance music and they'll have the little programs and live any old way they want. Now you take a King James Bible, which I believe is the true word of God. There is no other. I believe a King James Bible takes a man from the gutters.
Yeah. Like
me. And brings me up to his level.
You better believe that.
Right. Sir. Taught me how to walk. Taught me how to talk. Taught me how to dress. Teaching me how to be a father to those two children. Teaching me how to be a husband, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher. I'm just going to tell you this now. These are things that Dale Morey would have never attained in his life, ever, without Jesus Christ. Ever. I'd be still. Here's the choices that I had. Prison or death. There was nothing else for me. There was no other route for me. There was no other alternative. Until Jesus Christ stepped in my life and he showed me the alternative. I could have life on this earth, Zach. And then for eternity, a lot of people are going to be mad because they're going to see me standing in heaven next to them, but I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that. Be as angry as you want with me because your anger doesn't faze me. What you think of me doesn't bother me. I could care less. I could care less then, and I could care less now. But I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to shut my mouth preaching the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not going to shut my mouth on what God gives me because I believe people need to hear it. Why do I believe that? Because it's the Word of God. It's by the foolishness of preaching that I got saved. The foolishness. A man stood up there, and he preached a King James Bible to me. You know what it did to me, Brother McVeigh? It turned me inside out. It turned me inside out. It showed me who I was. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the day that salvation came to me, it's never been the same since. I've never desired to go back to where I came from, ever. And you know what? As God is my witness, I tell my wife this all the time. Amy, if I start slipping, may the Lord just take me off this earth. Just end it right there. I don't want to go any farther. I want another to blow me. But I believe we have a lot of dead men bones in churches today. They will not allow the breath of God to come in and give them life. They're too busy with their foolishness and listening to men. Please, I beg you, don't listen to any man. You listen to what the Bible has to say and what Jesus Christ has to say. If a man's going to tell you anything, he's going to tell you, you go get right with God. He's not going to try to lead you down some lonely road or pray this prayer with me and all that baloney. So I get to ask you this one question. I'm going to close with this. You show me one person that used that in the Bible. You show me one person that used the Romans road to bring somebody to salvation. If you would have walked up to me, Zach, and here I'm the ex-convict, you would have said, hey, I got the Romans road for you, boss. That ain't going to work for me. No Romans road did anything for me. You know what it took? Somebody preaching a King James Bible. It says, the law is our schoolmaster. The law brought me from being a sinner to my faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It brings you from one place to the other. People want to get saved? This is what we need to do, is we need to get them in these church pews and preach a King James Bible to them and let God, let God. Now, you plant, I water, who gives the increase? Anybody know what the Bible says? So tell me this, why is man given the increase?
Right.
How do we step in his way?
Right.
All we've done is fill the churches with dead people. I think it's time for us to start letting God do the increasing. Let God do what he's supposed to do. You know why? You know what's going to happen? You're going to have more men like me getting saved. Like Zach getting saved. Brother McVeigh. My wife. Debbie. So on. More people are going to get saved. If man would just step out of the way. It's not God's will that any should perish. And if that's the truth, if you believe that, then you need to just shut shut up and step out of the way. Because all we're doing is getting in the way. Now when you go try to deal with that person, they're not going to hear it because they already prayed a prayer. They've been inoculated. Now, how are we going to say it? I'm good. That's what happens. That's what's going on in America.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And these people can't open their eyes to it because that number, that mighty number and that mighty dollar can go into them in a soul.
Terrible.
Think about this and I'm done. I'm going to close my Bible and I'm done. I'm walking off. I just want you to think, please, think hard on this today. And I mean all day. How many people are we in this room going to let drop off into hell because of our foolishness? You want to know why the churches are the way they are today? Why they're full of dead men's bone? Because we're in the way of God. It's time for us to step out of the way and let God come in and do what he needs to do. And I'm done, brother.